brother. What's up?
This is a good recording, man.
Yeah, brother, like, stop right on.
Welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And before I announce my first guest, at 5:30 this evening, we're going to be joined by interim mayor of Milwaukee, Cavalier Johnson. So really excited about having the interim mayor on, as well as being excited about my first guest, Mr. Mike Van Sumeren. Did I butcher your name, sir?
No, you got it perfectly.
All right, Mr. Mike Van Sumeren. He is a candidate for, you know, the seat that Scott Fitzgerald is presently sitting in for Congress. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
All right. So what district is that?
It's the 5th district.
It's the 5th district. Tell us a little bit about Mike Van Sumeren.
Sure. So I am from small town Wisconsin, up in northwestern Wisconsin, just outside the Twin Cities, a little town called Somerset. I was raised by my truck driver dad and my office manager mom. My dad is now a Teamster. And I played football and basketball in high school and was good enough to walk on for the Badgers. Played 4 years under Coach Alvarez. And wow. Then after my college career was over, I went to Marquette Law, got my law degree, and started my life with my wife actually the week after I graduated from law school.
So have you been a practicing attorney?
Yes, I practice business law at a firm downtown Milwaukee, and I live out in Delafield.
And now you are going to take on a guy who really needs no introduction. Anybody who's been around this state for any extended period of time knows who Scott Fitzgerald is. He was part of the Mutt and Jeff team with him and what's the other guy's name? The Senate. Help me out, Evan. What's the other guy's name?
What do you mean, the other guy?
Well, Scott. It was Scott Fitzgerald guy, Robin Vault.
There it is. Man, how could we forget? Oof.
Yeah, how could that slip my mind? But anyway, let's talk a little bit about why you decided, Mike, to run for Congress.
Yeah, so... You know, like a lot of people, I was very busy with my life and, you know, worrying about my friends, my family, and my community. And when COVID hit and slowed everything down, it really crystallized everything that was going on and the ills that were facing our society, and decided that I had to do more. And I really got frustrated with Scott Fitzgerald and his role in the Senate while Governor Evers was doing what he could. And as the pandemic was approaching and we could see what was going to happen, and Scott Fitzgerald didn't want to do anything but play partisan politics. Governor Evers would call a special session. Scott Fitzgerald would gavel in a session and gavel out almost immediately thereafter. And, you know, he continued to collect his paycheck while running for Congress without doing anything. And that's just not, in my mind, what Wisconsin stands for, what Wisconsin voters stand for.
So what do Wisconsin voters stand for? Because right now there's a segment of the voters in this state who clearly are following the wrong path, you know, and doing everything within their power to destroy what you say in our conversation earlier, this state stands for.
Yeah, I think overall Wisconsin voters, regardless of what side of the aisle you're on, stand for accountability and working for one another. And, you know, if you're going to get paid to do a job, you're going to do it right. And you're going to at least do the job. And that's something that Scott Fitzgerald hasn't stood for. You know, and I think that Wisconsin voters generally care about their neighbors, and, you know, that's been strained as of late, but I do think that people do care about their neighbors. They want to see everybody get ahead. They want to see people that work hard be rewarded. But at the same time, they want that safety net there because they understand that things happen in life.
You know, we're looking at a election time that is so critically important. What would it mean to unseat a guy like a Scott Fitzgerald who has been playing politics, man, for, I don't know, the last, going back to on the state level and as a representative and then a state, a senator, all along the way he's been playing this game with people's lives. You know, what do you say? If you are fortunate enough to become and replace Scott Fitzgerald, I hear people talking about you have to learn how to play the game. And I always say to people who say that, why are you calling this a game? People's lives are impacted and affected by everything that happens. It's not a game.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. Look, to beat Scott Fitzgerald, you know, yes, we're an underdog. It's a gerrymandered district, but long odds don't scare me. The ability to actually get into Congress and use government as a tool for everybody, not just the super wealthy and the huge corporations, but the small business owners, the individual workers, you know, and being able to take ideas from left, right, or center, and if they work, implement them, and if they don't work, discard them and move on and actually solve problems that can make people's lives better, that's what I'm all about. I want the ability to use government in a way that will improve people's lives.
So having said that, you've already got in place a policy proposal. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Sure. So what I'm putting forth is what I'm calling my common sense plan to restore American democracy. And I call it common sense because it takes into account the concerns raised by the left and the right.
So before you go any further, you said to save American democracy. Is it in peril? Is it in jeopardy?
Absolutely. I think that's very clear from the events on the 6th last year and even what's going on now. I mean, if you look, there are laws being proposed. There's over 400 bills across the country looking to restrict voting access and voting rights for regular citizens. In Wisconsin, there was just a bill that was introduced that would require ex-cons or ex-convicts, after they've served their time, they would still be restricted from voting until they had paid all their fines and fees to the court, essentially equating to a poll tax. You know, it's all about restricting the access to the vote on the right at this time, and that is something that we can't have. That's antithetical to the United States democracy.
So that is a part of this proposal that you are talking about. Let's go back to that.
Sure. So my proposal wants to end voter suppression laws and bring back preclearance, which would allow for the federal government to look at laws and make sure that they don't have the effect of restricting voting access. You know, overall, the idea behind this is to expand voting, end gerrymandering, stop voter suppression, get big money out of politics, and to enhance the election integrity. So people have faith in our elections and that the people that are elected truly do get to hold office and that their decision isn't usurped by the losing party.
You know, you certainly didn't start with on the lower rung of things. You're attacking the whole apparatus of Republican Party that has really done a number. They've been able to, at the state levels across this nation, impose their will and take away the rights of the American people. And the worst thing about it, Mike, is that there's so many people who have given up because they don't think there's any way possible that things are ever going to go back to the way they were.
You know, that's exactly right. And honestly, I think that is the purpose of gerrymandering. The ultimate purpose of gerrymandering is to try and get people to give up. Because once people have given up, you do truly have a ruling class. And that's not what America stands for. That's not what we were founded on. That's not what we fought for in the past. And it's not what I'm fighting for now.
You know, you talked about big money in politics. I can guarantee you that Scott Fitzgerald is going to have a lot of big money following him. How do you begin to do that?
Well, honestly, we're somewhat limited because of the Supreme Court. Now, me being a lawyer, I'm very well acquainted with the laws that the Supreme Court decisions that have been handed down that opened up the floodgates for big corporate dollars and dark money that is hard to trace. You know, Citizens United being the premier case in that regard. But I think disclosure is where we need to be to start. And that means that we need to have public companies that if they're higher leadership are making donations, or if they're making donations, that needs to be handled, that needs to be disclosed, so that people know where the money is coming from and what it's supporting. And then people can make their decision as to whether they want to support that company, whether they want to believe the advertisement that's being produced with that money. You know, right now there's a lot of people that are misinformed because there's no way to know the motives behind the people funding any sort of advertisement.
You know, it is from the first time that, you know, these dollars flowed in, it reminded me of puppet governments. The United States of America that used to point the finger at other governments and call them puppet governments. What are we if we now, the American people, their votes are usurped by major corporations that have money, and money is the determining factor on, you know, our rights. And you know, all of this has to be completely rethought. We've got to go to a break. Can you hang on a second?
Sure.
All right. My guest is Mike Van Someren. He is a candidate for what district did you say again?
The 5th District.
The 5th District, Congressional District, presently held by Scott Fitzgerald. We've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You can join us. What do you say? We'll be right back.